Quincy again, connecting the light. Where does time go? I can't believe that a whole week has passed. And if my impression of time is very much like yours, I think this year it's absolutely speeding by. Anyway, as usual, I want to start the programme with this week's report from Sheldon Nidal. And it's one of those that I can hardly take any of the information out. It's all very, very interesting and worthwhile passing on. And maybe just here and there I'll find a need to make my own comments. This week, Sheldon Nidal's message, which is for the spiritual hierarchy and the Galactic Federation, was confirming that the move towards first contact continues. And they're saying, and I quote, "On many fronts around your world, events are moving forward to their climatic denouements. Numerous requisite agreements about world finance are clandestinely being enacted by collegiums of concerned central bankers. These actions make it necessary for the world's governments to hammer out a new Bretton Woods-like agreement. This crisis is yet another key indication that the time has come to evict the current American regime from power. Consequently, we have strongly urged those directly involved in this action to complete with due haste what remains outstanding. Our diplomatic liaisons report this critical move is very close. Other related actions which involve the changing of several willful regimes are likewise close to completion. The progress on these two fronts, the financial and governmental, indicates that the many abundance programs are indeed approaching the magic moment for unimpeded distribution." Now, I will comment there because over a period of time, I get emails from people asking me about these programs, and I must confess, I don't really know any more than anyone else, in the sense that I do not get specific information on this through my own messages. But I'm pleased to see that the abundance programs are confirmed, so that's good news. So I will continue. "As the clash between the last dark cabal and our Earth allies plays out, we can comprehend that your global society is not yet ready for the great shock that it is shortly to receive. To remedy this, we began months ago a program designed to alleviate many of your global society's lingering fears. Security and sufficient financial opportunities for advancement haunt the core of your world economy. These worries create energies that are manipulated by your dark cabal. Our operation is providing many needed resources to counter these fears. The amount of money covertly hoarded by your dark cabal is truly staggering. Using the offices of our Earth allies, we set up a system to summarily confiscate and redistribute these vast sums. In addition, we have gathered together a sufficient quantity of objects of value to ensure that a true hard currency monetary system can be quickly manifested worldwide when so needed. We mention this to demonstrate that your new reality is very close and indeed quite inevitable." I'll comment again there on this question of taking back the covertly hoarded up monies, which, understanding a lot of cases, have been illegally acquired by the dark cabal. And I did see some mention of there being trillions and trillions of dollars tied up. And you have to imagine that if the Galactic Federation has confiscated these vast sums and also objects of value to go with it, and that these can manifest a worldwide monetary system when needed, it gives you some idea, I think, of what we're talking about. The message goes on to say that while this transpires, Mother Earth is rumbling. She wants to transform into her fully conscious self. Nonetheless, she knows that the full sweep of these changes can only be made and carried out once you have been moved into designated sanctuaries. So she remains content with much smaller movements of her surface area. Even these have recently caused degrees of discomfort among your population. Expect more in the coming days and months, as many minor adjustments are made. Mother Earth remains in a very fragile condition, and sustaining her in this state is becoming more and more difficult. Despite this, our science teams and the planetary Elohim are committed to maintaining the current homeostasis for as long as necessary. This means that what is being done by our Earth allies must conclude very shortly, and it is the intention of our liaisons to see to it that this does not happen. Assisting them are our fleet personnel who have been on your assignment among you for over a decade. These two elements are dedicated to your success and your coming victory. They talk of the 13 millennia rule of the dark, which has now reached its zenith, saying that it is this that causes the distress that wraps your globe. Those individuals and groups who are committed to change have worked diligently and are just beginning to witness the fruits of their labour. They cry for such change is seen in the faces of your poor and downtrodden. Their desperate hope for relief has only increased in the past 10 years. Everywhere, governments in Asia, Europe, Africa, Oceania, and the Americas feel silent but effective protestations for change. This great silent scream is bringing varied groups together and amplifying the power of your global quiet revolution. This quiet revolution is reaching a point where it is ready to manifest before you. Above all, we understand that this revolution is about a great shift in consciousness. Your long sojourn through the realms of limited consciousness is nearing an end. Our scientists desire to inform you that individual soul fields strengthened enormously during the past year. As we approach the start of a new galactic year, we wish to report that your collective soul fields are merging into a most beautiful kaleidoscope of ever-changing patterns and forms. Their beauty is something to behold. We see this in our viewing devices and observe it within our mind's eye. The exquisite beauty signals the magnificence of the coming transformations of your world and, of course, you. You are great people on the verge of actually manifesting your limitless potential. This fact fills us with joy and proves to us that your grand potential is shortly to be realized. We are most grateful to heaven that we have been given a part in these proceedings. Now, they refer again to the period of some 13 millennia ago and say that you were severed from this marvelous connection. It was taken from you by the dark, and now this gift is being graciously returned to you. In the interim, you became great connoisseurs of the dark's impious ways. This wisdom is needed for your next task. Soon, you are to be full members of this grand galactic union. In fact, some of its most important ambassadors. In this capacity, you are to do some really outstanding things to bring physical creation together. Your manifesting powers, when combined with the special status and beauty of Mother Earth, are to complete many intergalactic agreements that currently are in early formative stages. The peoples of inner Earth eagerly anticipate their reunion with you. Many conference centers abandoned during the destruction of Lemuria and then Atlantis need to be rebuilt on your planet's nodal points. These great edifices are to be sites of momentous forums where your inherent skills can contribute great works, not only for this galactic federation, but also for the whole of physicality. You are, as we have said before, to be the creators of a grand union of the light throughout physicality. This destiny is no small thing to ponder. It predicts your future potential and coming magnificence. It demonstrates how beautifully you have weathered the storm whipped up long ago by the dark. The coming times shows only the merest beginnings of what you are to become and be truly capable of doing. Remember, you are all great children of the light who have come to this marvelous yet dangerous reality to learn, grow, and ultimately to transform it. This you are already doing. Be not afraid of what is happening to you. Accept who you are and be ready to become great beings of light. The final series of metamorphosis is now beginning. Soon both your living residence, Mother Earth, and you are to complete your transformation into something quite splendid. Then the time for reunion with your true family and assuming the mantle of your destiny can at last begin. And that's where I end Sheldon Nidal's message for this week. And I must say, I don't know where, but over a period of time, I have heard it said that man of Earth is destined to be of service to the whole of physicality. So within that message, we have a little bit more information. Now, what I've linked with Sheldon Nidal's message is another one that came my way through Karen Carbo, who sends out the Just Channelings emails. And this was an excerpt from an Ashtar teleconference on May the 2nd this year. And it perhaps is no coincidence in picking this up. It neatly ties in with some of the things that have been mentioned in Sheldon's message. So, again, I find myself wanting to read the bulk of this message, so I will carry on. The message reads that we are happy to report that there is a majority of light emanating and radiating from all parts of your planet. And so the ascension process is going on even in those millions who are unaware of it and who have fears about the Earth changes, the Earth weather patterns, the financial instabilities of many of your banking institutions and the governments themselves. They say that upon the internet, you will find that more and more institutions of banking, for instance, are being exposed as being what you call crooked. More and more of this process of money laundering. Is that not interesting? Money laundering, as though you can put it in some kind of big machine and it comes out all clean and pure. When they're talking about laundering, is that not an interesting bit of confusing speech? What they really mean is covering the trail. Not to be judgmental here, because we know we never judge. But it does seem to me as though that is much more of a dirty business than a clean-up one. At any rate, much of this is coming to the light. There are many, many in the banking institutions who are being, shall we say, called upon the carpet and told, get out of that leaky boat or you're going to sink. And that is why, one reason why, that which you call the programs, and they say here, think dollar signs, lots of dollar signs. That is one reason why the programs are closer to coming into, shall we say, the light of delivery. No dates, but close. There is this information on the topic we would mention as well. But you see, what is happening is that we have been given permission, and there was a very enlightened bit of information that came out on this, because you have accepted our help into a much greater degree, really, to quite a complete degree now. We are able to assist in the location of these pots of so-called laundered money. Don't tell everyone we're working with you and you call the white hats among the banking industry and certain agents or representatives of government who are also wearing the white hats, and we are helping them to locate these so-called hidden treasures. Most of them are within the banks, as you call them, the financial institutions. They have been put there by those who would use them to control. It has been said that they can even use this money to buy governments. That is true. This money has been used repeatedly to purchase the overthrow of more enlightened governments, so as to bring power in various countries to those who are part of this program of world control. Well, you can look for these kinds of things to be stopping, because it takes money to do this. And we are now assisting those of our representatives on planet Earth, those among you in locating these treasures and in securing them, so that you, the rightful owners, will have them returned to you when the time comes. And when we say the rightful owners, we are addressing the entire world, whether you are in a program, you know, a big dollar signs program or not. Things will happen so rapidly. This dispersal of the funds, the goal of having everyone in human body experience unlimited abundance will be reached very quickly as your time goes. And that is the end of the excerpt. And if you're following that, isn't it interesting that it actually gives you more detail about how the monies are being recovered from the banking institutions? So I thought that was an interesting connection there. Now, on the general news front, I've got a few items here. There's never a lack of those each week. And the first one I've got here is a short article from a website called articlesofimpeachment.net. And it just simply asks people to join the effort at that particular website to make sure that the impeachment goes through. And they give information about it, and they talk about it being organised by the Centre for Constitutional Rights and Melville House, which is launching nationwide on July the 19th in cities and towns across the country. So this is obviously a new site. And apparently what they've got is a DVD documentary, short one, How to Impeach a President. And they have a handbook, Articles of Impeachment Against George W. Bush. And they say they have other resources which are available at the website. They're asking people to join this outfit. So if you want to know more about that and want to get involved, I'll repeat it again, it is articlesofimpeachment.net. Now, I have a short extract here from an article that appeared on Wrens.com. We get quite a lot from that particular website. It's obviously very active. And it's talking about the Senate Minority Leader, Harry Reid. And he's apparently been quoted as calling the Congress the most corrupt in history. And it mentions that U.S. Representative Ron Paul often uses the term police state to describe, as it says, our national state of affairs, and say that George Bush is making the most expensive claims to unbridled power since America's war for independence, according to Senator Patrick Leahy. He was the former U.S. ambassador. We're now talking about the former U.S. Ambassador Joseph Wilson, who proved the Bush-Cheney lie to launch us into war with Iraq. And he says fascist forces have seized control of the levers of power. And it goes on to say that Americans are being told that their republic has become a fascist police state. They just need ears to hear. In a fascist deep state, the dictator secures his power with support from private corporations, which are given special privileges and must benefit from doing business with dictators. And it mentions that there are continuously bribed to 28,000 corporate lobbyists in D.C. Congress, and they're doing their part to build a fascist system in America, and that during President Bush's recent State of the Union speech, these tainted legislators perpetually rose to their feet to applaud the spewing of what a New York Times editorial called misleading analogies, propaganda slogans, and false choices. And it says their bootlicking recalls a bygone Soviet era when endless rows of robotic Central Party members applauded the likes of Stalin to ensure their next breath of oxygen. And, well, so it goes on. I mean, if you want to read more detail, there it is. It's on Wrens.com. Greg Szymanski's name often crops up in relation to articles, and this is an extract from one that came from the ArcticBeacon.com site. And it came out on the 11th of May, and it was talking of the technology existing to create a totalitarian New World Order, and talking of sinister plans to use it on innocent public by the US policy makers. And Greg has said, are you ready for total elimination of privacy and robotizing of mankind, as well as an invasion thought going through your head? Are you prepared to live in a world in which every newborn baby is microchipped? And finally, are you prepared to have your every move tracked, recording and placed in Big Brother's data bank? Although it seems impossible, plans are well underway to control every move and thought of the American population once the New World Order ends its period of extended violence, a stage of takeover, and the chance of experiencing. And since there is very little written in the compliant US media, a story that appeared in the Finnish journal Specula tells Americans just how close we are to entering the totalitarian New World Order. According to the Finnish article distributed to doctors and medical students, time is running out for the direction of military medicine and mind control technology is being used to ensure the future of human freedom. I think I've got a bit missing on the side of this email there, because that doesn't actually read right. I think it should say that time is perhaps running out for us to use the military medicine and mind control technology to ensure the future of human freedom. I'm sure it otherwise doesn't. It imprisons them. Anyway, I'm not quite sure what that little bit is, but you can go to arcticbeacon.com and read a bit more on that if you're interested. Every day in my email I get the Michael Worldwide newsletter, produced by Russ Michael. It's excellent in its content. And there was a little bit here about the subject that's come up a few times now, and that's talking about IRS. And it says, IRS is a fraud. And it's saying, can you stop paying your income taxes? And the answer is yes, according to the people who have written up on GiveMeLiberty.org website. And there's a very short extract that says, the DOJ realized that if the case went to trial, not only the jury, but the whole body politic would learn that no person has been required to file a 1040 because the form has never displayed a valid control number assigned by the OMB director in accordance with the PRA. And they say, share this good news with everyone in our USA. Constitutional rights are real. Now, obviously, that's a short extract about a particular trial which I have read about. I can't for the life of me remember the person's name. But basically, what seemed to happen was they pushed this guy right up to the end, charging him with not paying his taxes, etc., etc. And I think they took it as far as they could as a bluff, and then withdrew at the last moment, because as this short extract said, that if there was a trial, then everybody would learn that they were not required to fill in this 1040 form. So there we are. So if you want to read a little bit more, you can go to GiveMeLiberty.org. That's where some of the information is. Now, I have an extract from a statement that was written by the World Can't Wait student organisers, and they were talking about the response to the Haditha carnage. And they're saying the images are horrific, the lies are outrageous, the story is all too common. And they're talking about, as most of us saw from the news items, the dead children piled upon the back of the pickup truck, dressed in blood-soaked and bullet-ridden pyjamas, and a group of brothers who were forced into a closet and shot at point-blank range, and a young girl being interviewed who was the lone survivor of her family, who woke up in the morning of November the 19th to find her father shot dead while attempting to open the front door, and her siblings all shot as well as her mother, holding the youngest in her arms. And on this site they say, we must not allow the killing of 24 innocent people in Haditha to be swept under the rug of just another incident in war-torn Iraq. And they say the lies and the initial cover-up tell us that these Marines felt what they did was wrong. But we add that in Haditha, a war crime was committed, and that was not only wrong, but immoral. So there we are. So there's a group there that's trying to draw some publicity to it and make sure that there is a just outcome in that matter. Now, very recently, there was some information going around the web. It came from prisonplanet.com, and it's talking about what happened to Alex Jones, who's well known for supporting the underground news and the causes of justice. And he was apparently on his way to the Bilderberg group meeting, which was held in Canada. And he was explaining here how he had 15 hours of hell at the hands of the immigration authorities, who knew they were coming. And this article about it was written by Paul Joseph Watson on the June the 8th on that particular website. And he says that Alex Jones and his team were detained by Canadian immigration on the orders of the Bilderberg Group for a 15-hour nightmare of interrogation, accusations and threats of arrest in anticipation of the conference in Ottawa, which started that day. And the group were detained at 11:45 on the previous night and only released on the day of the conference after 2 p.m. And the customs openly told Alex, as soon as they brought him into custody, that the Bilderberg group was aware of his arrival and that this was the reason for his detainment. He said all three members of the team were instantly detained despite going through different immigration desks. And apparently the officials knew everything about Alex, even the fact that George W. Bush once had him arrested in 1998. And Alex said, I was screamed at, I was cussed out, I was interrogated, and jail threats were issued as officials seized and searched for Alex's equipment for 15 hours. He was told that if any trace of pornography was found in his three computers, that he would be arrested. They were talking about how I was a criminal. They hooked our laptop computers up and said if they found any porn, even mainstream porn, that's it. That it's illegal to take it across lines and that we would be going to jail, said Alex, thanking God that no trace of any porn was found on his office computers. And searches continued throughout the night and again in the morning, and the immigration officials seemed to take a gleeful satisfaction in detaining the team, claiming they were liars and not part of the media, despite once admitting to having seen an Alex Jones documentary. Accusations of drugs and weapons smuggling were thrown around without recourse. And they said, quote, you Americans shit all over us. Canadians think you can do nothing. You want us, said one immigration official who was acting more like a drill sergeant. Towards the end of the ordeal, national media, including the Ottawa Citizen and CBC, got wind of what was unfolding and sent journalists to the airport to talk to Alex. And the CBC journalists vouched for the fact that Alex was in the media and that she was planning on interviewing him after also being subjected to a barrage of questions by officials. At that point, immigration officials sharply changed their attitude, reversed a likely decision to deport the team, and by the end were apologetic and conciliatory about the entire issue. Alex would make it clear that the immigration officials, on the whole, were just doing what they were told in trying to prove who Alex was, and they should not be the focus of any vitriol. Alex himself admits that his behaviour was not perfect, and he smarted off a couple of times when he should have remained quiet. The major element of this story is that the pressure was brought to bear by Bilderberg. Now, if you haven't heard of the Bilderberg meetings, apparently key members all from all around the world, which often includes leaders or prime ministers or their equivalent from the different countries, meet to thrash out financial plans to bring the world into global control. And Alex, I think, from what I've heard about him, has been one person who has in a manner of speaking, infiltrated the Bilderberg meeting and found out details which they don't like. Apparently, they never take notes of the meeting, so they do not leave evidence around. So I'll leave that one there. What is interesting, if you're one who's into reading about chemtrails, is that there was an anonymous email from an airline mechanic who had a very good story to tell about how he came across some of these planes that are used for that purpose, discovered the additional piping that's been added to the plane, also the tanks from which the liquids are dispatched. And if you want to read the whole report, it's on a site called RBN Live. That's RB for Bertie, N for Norman, live.com. And he's saying that I am an aircraft mechanic for a major airline. I work at one of our maintenance bases located at a large airport. I have discovered some information that I think you'll find important. First, I should tell you something about the pecking order amongst mechanics. It is important to my story and to you, the cause of which you have dedicated yourself. Mechanics want to work on three things: the avionics, the engines, or the flight controls. The mechanics that work on these systems are considered at the top of the pecking order. Next come the mechanics that work on the hydraulics and air conditioning systems. Then come the ones who work on the galley and other non-essential items. But at the very bottom of the list are mechanics that work on the waste disposal systems. And then he goes on to tell how he came across these systems, and he was able to go back to this type of craft on a number of occasions to acquire more details. The establishment found out what he was doing, and they set up, not a trap exactly, but they set up a false reason for getting rid of him, and then in the next minute took him back into his job. I suppose that's because he might have created a fuss. But he was shown in no uncertain ways that they knew everything that he had been doing. So he's a brave man to come out with the report, because no doubt they will know that it does come from him, although obviously he's kept his identity private. So there we are. That's something that may interest you. Now, from Renscom again comes an interesting quote. It's an extract from David Rockefeller's autobiography called Memoirs. I don't know whether it came out on the 11th of June or whether that's simply the date this report came out. I expect it's the latter. But the quote out of the book is extremely interesting, because he says, quote, "For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the globe to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will." And he says, "If that's the charge, I stand guilty, and I'm proud of it." So there we are. Quite interesting that when you're charged by something like that, you act very, if you like, brazen and bold and admit to it, hoping that that will convince people that there isn't anything in it. So it's a rather clever tactic, I think. Now, there was an article posted on the 15th of June. I'm trying to see where it's come from. It's a short extract talking about the federal government who is suing state officials. And I'll read this short bit, saying that the New Jersey Attorney General and other state officials are being sued by the federal government to end their further inquiries on the extent of telephone firms' participation with the National Security Agency, that is the NSA. Here we are. The AP reports that the filing in U.S. District Court in Trenton, New Jersey, is the latest effort by federal authorities to halt legal proceedings aimed at revealing whether and how often AT&T, Verizon, and other phone companies have provided customer records to the NSA without a court order. Now, I find that astonishing that somebody can use a law against the law to conceal that information. So let's hope they're not successful. I think the news which I have here suggesting that there will be no deal for Karl Rove as far as his impeachment by Patrick Fitzgerald is concerned is perhaps, I guess, general knowledge now. But in the talkleft.com website, there was a report here where, I haven't got the name of the person who made it, where someone said, I opined repeatedly on TalkLeft and HuffPo that Karl Rove would be charged at least with making a false statement to investigators in the fall of 2003 before a grand jury was convened. That was the Martha Stewart crime, and he said that was wrong. I'm ready to put this to bed. Karl Rove walked. He's one of the rare objects of an investigation who was able to talk his way out of an indictment. And apparently they're saying this is exactly what Luskin told him, whoever he is, 3 weeks ago. And he said, it's over, folks. Karl Rove will not be charged with a crime. He's cooperated with Fitzgerald by testifying to the grand jury 5 times and providing whatever information he had without a safety net. Without assurances, he would not be indicted. That's a hell of a risk, but Luskin pulled it off. My hat's off to Luskin. So I wonder if that is true, if behind that is information that will enable Patrick Fitzgerald to get hold of some of the bigger culprits. We'll have to see, won't we? Now, that's my general news finished by one item which I have here. Just simply something of interest to anyone who may be listening who's a computer user, because apparently the world's largest email service provider, Yahoo, said on Wednesday this week that the virus had attacked the computers of some of its 200 million subscribers. And this report was according to Reuters. And they say there's a worm called Yamana, which is delivered in an email under the subject New Graphics Site. And it can infect computers if the mail is open, as well as the computers of others whose email addresses are stored in the computer. So they're saying, if you get one, you're advised to delete the mail immediately. So there you are, just a little bit of information that may prevent the catastrophe if you get that particular email. Now, I've got a few items here on the UFO front, and on the website that my messages go on to, which is the treeofthegoldenlight.com, we recently asked people to send in details of their own ET or UFO experiences, and we've had a magnificent response. And our webmaster, Bob T, has been sorting them out. He's put another lot on, so there are 2 lots on our site if you want to find it. But I picked out a couple here that I thought were interesting. There was one that came in from, let me see, where's the name? From Joseph C. And he said it's an incident that occurred on January 15th this year. And he just comments on the fact that he is into receiving information about the Galactic Federation of Planets. He knows about the first contact. And he's saying that it has been several weeks at this time since I started to read and discuss the Federation's landing on Earth. And he said, one night while I was sleeping, I had the opportunity to visit one of their ships in a conscious state rather than in a physical form. And my visit was very enjoyable, to say the least, and this is how it went. So I'll just read through this sort of like a couple of paragraphs or so. He said, I was sleeping and I knew it because I could feel the bed and the blankets upon my body. Then suddenly I was standing in what appeared to be a very nice, also very large shopping mall. there were at least two levels to this particular area of this mall. I started out on the upper level with thousands of other people around me in the hallways. As I looked around, I saw that it was very nicely decorated with floral positions in various places. There were palm trees and marble floors and multicoloured walls. As I looked up, there was a whitish glass long dome shaped ceiling which ran the length of the hallway and let in generous amounts of light to illuminate the hallways. The only thing I noticed right away was that there were no stories in this mall, but that didn't... No, sorry, I misread that. That there were no stores in this mall, but that didn't seem unusual for some reason. As I was walking down the corridor towards the room, I noticed that a few of the people seemed different from the rest, but I was unaware of why they seemed different. I didn't question it at all at first. Then approximately 200 to 300 of us went into one room that was quite dark inside. Once inside, I saw several small monitors on the black walls that angled out at a 45-degree angle for viewing movies for one or two people. You could push them back into the walls easily to conceal them from sight. I started to watch one of them with some people near me, and we seemed to be questioning where we were and why we were here. Then all of a sudden, a man appeared at the end of one room, which was a stage area, and he also appeared on the little monitor as well. He seemed to become part of the movie on the monitor by magic and seamlessly integrated into it, but somehow I knew he was not pre-recorded into the little move prior to this appearance in the room. He seemed more like the ones I noticed out in the hallway that appeared different from the thousands of others I was standing with. He began to speak, but I couldn't make out what he was saying very clearly. Then the other end of the room became alive with activity. It was a skit with actors of the same demeanour as the others that stood out. There was a structure on the stage that resembled an incomplete wooden structure of a house being built. Just in front of that was a scaffolding that the actors were erecting to demonstrate what appeared to be gravity to the audience. They put up two legs and then a crosswalk type of platform. There was music and dancing going on by the actors. All of a sudden, the crosswalk was dropped into place as it pivoted on one peg down onto the opposite side peg on the other scaffold upright. At this point, all the actors pulled out what looked somewhat like guns. They aimed them at the audience and pulled the triggers, firing them at each one of us. Now, thinking about this, you would think that everyone would be afraid and start to scramble, yet no one did, not even me. The guns were not loaded with bullets. In fact, they were some kind of activation for the people in the room. The feeling that came over me, and I'm sure everyone else, was one of peace and relaxation and patience. This was something for the Galactic Federation, and they were doing it with millions of people all over the Earth to prepare them for the arrival of the first contact landing on Earth in a more physical form. And then there's a drawing of a strange-looking gun, and he goes on to say that the next morning after all this happened, I woke to a different feeling within that was more peaceful and harmonious towards others. I knew that what they are going to do is happening to millions all over the planet. Then he goes on to talk about other aspects, how when people learn how they've been enslaved, they're going to become enraged at the government. In other words, he's making his own comments on the matter. He then talks about this landing or first contact is going ahead, whether we want it or not, because the all that is the Supreme Creator, has decreed that the dark energies will fail this time and they will lose control. That's all I wanted to extract out of that particular one. It's interesting, it's quite different to what we're used to reading about, I think, before. Joseph was apparently not the only one who had these types of experiences. There apparently was also beg your pardon, I had to have a little cough there. My throat was getting a little bit hoarse. Right, I was going to say that I've got another one here where there is person whose name I haven't got on this one, but there was a man talking about how he and his son had had so many visions of ships and beings, and it would take a long time to discuss them all. And then he goes on to say that it was first back in October 2002 that he started getting visions of ships and beings. And for more than a year prior to that, they would appear either to him disguised in robes with their face covered, or they would only reveal themselves from the neck down. But as they begin to fully reveal themselves, he realized they had been trying to take their time to avoid alarming him. Now, he said a number of these beings were human-looking, but a majority of them were obviously from a very diverse group of planets. I recall some being blue, green, pink, or white. While most had two eyes, a few had just one. Some were hairy, and others looked like a tree and an ocean creature. One who claimed he was a close friend of mine was a cat being from Sirius. There was a dolphin who visited from Nomos, and another was from one of the water planets near Arcturus. I also recalled seeing a human-sized praying mantis while I was in Portland, Oregon, who was apparently from the planet Jupiter. And he said, I remember some really friendly worm-like creatures. They came in different colours. And another fellow, or could it be several from the same species, whose head is shaped like a triangle. And he says, I even remember several that looked like E.T. from the famous Steven Spielberg movie. I saw them while at a conference at Mount Shasta, when they came to visit me one evening. There was one really tall one, about 8 feet tall, and several smaller ones that might have been children. Overall, I have noted approximately 36 different species amongst the beings that have appeared to me. My son Kevin has also met and had interesting conversations with many of these beings from other planets. During these brief encounters, they share their name, little about who they are, what planet they're from, and sometimes what they're dealing with at the moment. Some, sadly enough, have managed to ruin their planet like humans are currently doing here on Earth, and they're seeking a solution to where they might make their home next. He goes on to talk about them getting into battles with other ships, and he says, both Kevin and I have seen them shoot down other ships with a laser beam. Another time, I successfully made it through a portal, which allowed me to teleport on board one of the Arcturian ships. I first made it into a room filled with beings that looked like you and me, and I was then taken to a room where I was noticed by a tall grey, which are supposed to be the good ones. They played jokes on me too. One night, a group of beings from all over the galaxy appeared to sing and dance a music video for me. I was frolicking around my bedroom at 2 o'clock in the morning to Hilary Duff's What Dreams Are Made Of, which he happened to mention is one of his daughter's favourites. And he just laughed that off. But so there you are, that's another one. I've got a short one here, which is from a lady called Teresa W., who apparently lives in Tripoli, in Jamahiraya, in Libya. And she has said that she had an encounter in the UK in April 1981. It was one Sunday night, and there were three of them in a car driving along a major road from Harlow to Bishop Stortford, and she made telepathic contact with a UFO, and she said it followed them home for about 15 miles and settled above her house. And she said it definitely picked up my signal as it disappeared off the horizon. As soon as I sent my telepathic greeting, it came all the way back to us. We stopped the car, and it was hovering over our car roof when we then panicked and drove home around 100 miles an hour. However, it still followed us all the way to my house, and I got dead scared and asked it to go. This was over a period from around 12:30 in the morning to about 1:15 in the same morning. The second time was in Saudi Arabia in about March or April 2003. I had three aliens in my bedroom one night. As soon as they arrived, I woke up. I was okay at first, as they were obviously friendly and curious, as I had been doing light work prior to going to sleep. However, one of them, who she calls the baby one, moved from the end of my bed all the way round to within a few inches of my face, and I panicked. They left immediately, as they didn't want to frighten me. It was kind of dematerialization. It was kind of telepathic contact. there were three, two adults and a junior, shimmering white beings with very kind and loving faces who were smiling at me. So there you are, there's another one. Certainly when people feel free to tell about their own experiences, they're very interesting, aren't they? I think the climate's changed a terrific lot over the years. There was a time when people were very reluctant to discuss even having seen a UFO, let alone anything else. So now I want to move on in about what's left. It's almost the best part of 10 minutes to other types of messages. I usually finish with a few of a spiritual nature. In my own messages this week, there's been nothing really dramatic that's come up. They still take the form of keeping us more or less up to date on what is happening between the light and the dark cabal. And I've had one of the, the only female member of my contacts, who's Diane, talking on two consecutive days, that's the first time that's happened, about what it's like up in their realms, what differs from what we know upon the earth. And in fact, the first one of the two was describing these beautiful realms of where you've got harmony and balance, beautiful light, colours, how everything merges together. And they say that it's very difficult to describe it in words, but there we are. They do in the end give you some impression of how peaceful and how beautiful it is. Now, an email that came out was headed Vibrations, and I'm going to make a few extracts from it because I think maybe a number of people keep reading about these vibrations and perhaps they wonder what they are. And I thought this particular article really gave a good description here. And it's saying, and this is one that comes from Ariana, that not only does our vibration attract to us experiences of like vibration, but it also attracts us to people who are of the same vibrational frequency. Our own vibration is the one in which we feel most comfortable, and it constitutes a particular vibrational comfort zone for each one of us. Our vibration attracts to us others who share a similar vibration in order that we may remain in our comfort zone. We begin to feel out of our element when we are around people who are of a different vibration from ours, whether it be a higher or lower vibration. And she quotes a few examples here of the power of people's higher vibrations, and she says that one person can have an enormous impact. One individual who lives and vibrates to the energy of optimism and a willingness to be non-judgmental of others will counterbalance the negativity of 90,000 individuals who calibrate at the lower weakening levels. It's quite an astonishing number, isn't it? And one has to hope that that is true, and perhaps that might explain why when the light workers are by no means in a majority on this planet, that's because of their vibration, they actually equal or better the vibrations of those that are not. Anyway, by method of comparison here, she then goes on to say that one individual who lives and vibrates through the energy of grace, pure spirit beyond the body, in a world of non-duality, in other words, complete oneness, will counterbalance the negativity of 70 million people. And she says, there are approximately 10 such sages alive today. That's fantastic, isn't it? Sort of one great person equals 70 million ordinary people, if you like. So that's very encouraging. Now, there's a footnote to the message here, then describing a bit more in detail what a vibrational frequency is. And I'll read this out because it's interesting. It says, vibrational frequency is defined as the rate at which the atoms and subparticles of a being or object vibrate. The higher this vibrational frequency is, the closer it is to the frequency of light. Each word we speak and thought we think sends out a vibration that attracts to it an experience of like vibration. If we send out fear, we attract fear. If we send out love, we attract love. What does it mean to raise one's vibration or to increase one's vibrational frequency? Everything in the universe is energy, and energy vibrates at different rates. Each person has a unique vibration, which is the product of all the influences he or she has ever encountered. The influences upon which we focus our attention or thoughts are those which determine or define our vibrations. Negative vibrations are those which have to do with what we consider to be negative emotions or feelings. Included in the list of negative vibrations would be hatred, anger, doubt, fear of loss, lack, failure, etc. Jealousy, envy, judgment. And it says both judgment of others and self-judgment, which of course could be guilt, impatience, disharmony, imbalance, insecurity, etc. And then concludes by saying positive vibrations are those such as love, harmony, peace, balance, kindness, understanding, and compassion, etc. And then the whole message is concluded by saying that the so-called negative emotions are not in and of themselves bad. We all at some time or another experience anger and fear and doubt. These emotions only become harmful when we base our words or actions upon them. It is our intention or the reason behind the word or deed that sets up or sends out the vibration. We can feel anger about something, yet make a conscious choice to act out of love instead of acting out of anger. When we do this, we are raising our vibration from one of anger to one of love. Even if you don't feel like acting lovingly towards a person or event which has made you angry, you can always choose to act out of self-love, knowing that to act out of love is in the end the best thing for you. Yeah, I thought that was good. I think we always have ideas in our minds, don't we, of what it actually is, that it's vibrations. So it's just nice to hear what I suppose you could call the scientific interpretation and then actually express that in a way which we can all understand. Now, I've got longer messages to read, but I haven't clearly got time for them this week, so I'm just flicking through my file here just to see if I've got something of a short nature just to conclude here. I'll obviously save these particular messages for next week, but I can make a very quick extract from one that came out from Mark Stern. This also came through the Just Channelings distribution setup, and this was called Earth Ascension News Update, which came out on the 4th of June. And it was saying that Earth in all dimensions and realities is awash with preparations for an ethereal activity. The actual changeover to the new Earth is scheduled once our tidy-up operation of the universe is complete. This will be a very definite tidy up in defined realities. Our collective reality will become very ethereal for about 4 days as the overall vibration of all that we know expands and lifts up to the new consciousness, and that light workers are working so strongly collectively. I read a bit wrong there, my eyes jumped. I'm going to repeat that because it's not fair to leave it in the air. I will repeat, our collective reality will become very ethereal for about 4 days as the overall vibration of all that we know expands and lifts to the new universe that is connecting us, or connecting with us at this time. We wish to say to you that all of our plans are running smoothly and we anticipate just as much as you do, the reconnection with one another consciously. Light workers are working so strongly collectively. The universal voice of the shapeshifters as light servers are also known, as is growing stronger, and a new armada based on peace is filtering into the universe. The omnipresent functions on a premise of peace and universal tranquility. It brings monumental shifting in its wake due to its completely expanded vibration. Today, which was, where are we, the 4th of June, it says, through to next Thursday, which in that case would have been the 8th of June, is seeing a colossal shift in the activity of the entire planet's sacred and power spaces as the new Earth filters in through these power spaces, as well as the Earth's many crystal cities. The new empire is being laid down in the seventh dimension that has overlays in all dimensions. This celestial empire is known as Idon. It is home for all crystal, indigo, and star children. The children will travel to Idon once it is complete and rest, relax, enjoy their just rewards, and prepare for our move to the new planet. The actual new Earth is filtering into our Earth as a series of holographic overlays. These are subtle, but carry very definite winds of change. Now, it doesn't actually tell you which entity by name has given that message through Mark Stern. I'll read a bit more of it next week. You can absorb what I've given. I would thank you very much for being with me. I enjoy it every week. I just hope you enjoy the selection of material I use. So I would say goodbye to you, and may God bless you. Thank you.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.